You are listening to the Body Charge Podcast, and I'm your host, Sandy Sanderson. Welcome to the Body Charge Podcast. Today's special podcast is with Alyssa Wilson, the Ritual Woman. The topic is using rituals to power up your goals. Rituals have been used for millennia in every culture and walk of life to help manifest and power up goals. Traditionally, many have learned to light a candle and pray to the highest spiritual power many call God or the God Force. There are a multitude of different kinds of rituals in this toolbox. How do rituals help the brain focus, connect, and turn our goals into reality? My special guest, Alyssa, is a health coach who helps others remember who they are and connect with that spiritual essence of I am. She has developed a strategy of using certain rituals to make that connection easier. Her own journey of awakening has helped to inspire and motivate others to find their fun. So welcome, Alyssa. I'm so excited to having you on the Body Charge Podcast because this is such an interesting topic, really, because it's another topic of empowerment. And I think we're all working to help people find a way to feel powerful in their lives and not like a victim or, you know, weak or downtrodden or, you know, circumstances may have not favored them. How can they create goals and lift themselves out of a situation that is not ideal? And for that, we need a lot of confidence. So I was thinking perhaps this ritual method may help us gain that kind of confidence. So can you start off with telling us a little bit about your background and how you came to discover the power of rituals?
I certainly can. And thank you so much for having me here in your space to have this conversation. I just find it so juicy. So for me, I've really found rituals to be an anchor. They are the things that I can do that help me source my own empowerment, that anchor me back into my own sovereignty, my own agency, my own power. And from those spaces, I'm then able to make choices, move through the world in a much more functional, from the heart perspective.
So how did you move into this journey? Did you have like some kind of crisis or, you know, crashed to the bottom somewhere and thought, how can I get myself out of this mess? So what's your story?
Yeah, pretty much. I just found myself coming into an awareness of being really, I didn't know it at the time, but emotionally numb, that I just wasn't really connected to my own emotions, to my own likes, my own dislikes, which sort of led me on the little path that we all trip down thinking it's going to be a great old experience, only to find myself in the depths of pretty much a 2-year-long dark night of the soul, which a lot of stuff was coming up, a lot of trauma, just a lot of dysfunctional patterns. I'd also made the decision to come off hormone contraception, which I think for me was a huge factor in how emotionally numb I was and disconnected from my sense of self. And coming out of that, it was a huge learning experience as I started to be flooded with all of these different emotions that I didn't really have experiences of before in the way that they were coming through. So even happy was overwhelming to my system to start with. So it's almost like learning how to feel again. So through all of that process, I found myself just connecting with these different little rituals as ways, as I said before, to help me anchor back into who I am, back into myself. They helped me form a sense of identity and sovereignty that I could anchor into as I started to navigate through everything that was coming up for me.
It's interesting that you mentioned that you had to do something very physical, which is get off medications such as hormone replacement, because they are notorious for influencing our moods and our emotions. You either disconnect, or then you have, or you can have an overload or flooding in of emotions, or you can become super sensitive and not able to control how you react with others. You pick up other people's emotions when you're super sensitive, and you can't really self-regulate and come back to the balance point. And funnily enough, this happens a lot also when you are very low in magnesium. So magnesium deficiency causes a sensitivity in the central nervous system where we can't cope with stresses or problems very well. So little things become big things, and we can't bounce back readily from an upset or a heavy stress. But when we add more magnesium to our system, it is such a strong resource that strengthens us from the inside, and it helps to recover that balance and that sense of, I can rebalance myself. You feel stronger and more resilient. So the physical side is really important to address in everything, because we are body, mind, and soul, right? We are one entity
Absolutely.
with many sides,
Yeah.
like a diamond.
Yeah. And I can absolutely speak into what you were saying, because without consciously knowing it, one of the rituals that I really fell into was having Himalayan salt baths, which are just so rich in magnesium. And I'd never been a real water person before. But going through this cycle, I was definitely drawn to being in water more. And the amount of baths that I had during that time when I felt like I was at my most sort of darkest,
Yes,
was really a
salt.
way to support my body.
Yeah, so it's the electrolyte system which helps move energy throughout the body. So the electrical system, that's where magnesium plays a big part, along with all the other electrolytes. And so that brings me to tying it in with rituals that have been done for millennia, haven't they? They've had these bathing places where people go, and there might be sulfur in the bath and lots of magnesium and other kinds of salts, and they sit in the sometimes volcanic areas where things bubble up, and recover. They get rid of arthritis, but there's also a ritualistic aspect to it. They might bring some gemstones or a favorite piece of jewelry or something to cleanse, as a symbol of cleansing themselves, because it is a form. Bathing is detoxing, isn't it? It's cleansing inside and outside in every way, shape, or form. So with ritual, we are cleansing our spiritual space. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, rituals do really encompass the body, mind, and soul aspect. Like they can be more loaded in one of those pillars or another, but I do really feel that holistic pull. And at the end of the day, it is really just connecting me back in myself, back in my body, so that I'm here and present. And the rituals really can be anything. You can any activity can become a ritual. All you're really needing to do is to bring reverence and intention and presence into that space, and you can create a ritual out of any activity.
It's interesting you said the word intention, because I think from my personal experience and people I know, if you haven't formed a clear intention, if your thoughts are all over the place and a bit wishy-washy, and you haven't visualized your goals properly, you haven't gone inside and really checked yourself out properly. You're maybe focused on too many outside things, what social media is giving you, what someone else said, and it's not your stuff. And unless you connect with what your goals are, really you're meant to be, what you're doing in this lifetime, what is your mission? Unless you connect with that deeper aspect of yourself, nothing's really going to work well. So with the process of a ritual, you were saying it helps you connect and focus on yourself. because you're shutting out and blocking out all those interfering thoughts of something else because you're so intently focused on the ritual. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it could be. And again, like it sort of depends on what ritual kind of space that you're going into, because they all have a different kind of energy and flavor to them. But the idea of going into a ritual kind of space is to have an intention. There is a reason why you're wanting to do the ritual. There's a reason why you're wanting to connect in with yourself. Or potentially like to help you manifest something that you're wanting in your life as well. So for me, the intention, actually it says it in the word intention, it holds you in the tension of the end result of the thing that you want to create, the thing that you want to experience for yourself to draw in. So I really love the thought of those intentions being really consciously and deliberately thought about, and trying to nail them into what the real intention is, the real truth. Because oftentimes what we think we're intending, it's not really what we're intending, and we end up with a different version or a different something. So
yeah. How do we work out though what with what's real in terms of our own specific needs? Would you say something heartfelt or sincere, and people can then relate better to discerning if they feel it in their heart, if they really feel passionately? Then there's no doubt, is there? But if you feel a sense of doubt and you're becoming too much in your mind and too intellectual and trying to justify things, then maybe that's not real. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, certainly do. It's for me, it's coming down to the feeling. What is the feeling that it is that I want? Because an example would be, oh, I just, you know, my intention is to make more money. What is, why? What's the why behind the money? Like, what does the money give you? What is the feeling that money is going to give you? So for me, like if I was to go down and into those layers, for me, money would actually represent a sense of freedom. And that would be the feeling and the intention. So instead of setting the intention of I want to make more money, my intention would be a version of I choose the end result of freedom.
Isn't that
And that
interesting?
could show up. Yeah, it could show up in so many different ways.
Yes. So if you put first the end result, you're then leaving God, the intelligent universe, the method or how to get there, because for every individual it will be different. Some individuals may not need extra money to become free. Maybe they find a situation which doesn't cost a lot of money but still gives them a lot of freedom to do what they need to do within that space. But someone else has a different mission to fulfill, and the mission being the goal, being the thing to strive towards. If it is your real heartfelt mission, will often be associated with service to others, will be giving out and using your special talents and skills and abilities to do something worthwhile and important and something self-fulfilling, and that, you know, it gives you fun, it gives you a sense of satisfaction. So those goals may require more money to get to the end, but whatever is necessary, if you leave it open as to how to get there, you're more likely to get there according to the most efficient path. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And that is the trick of it, is to release the need to know how. We don't need to know how we're going to get there. We just need to know that we are there. And when we are trying to figure out the how, that's when we are in our heads, is when we're trying to make things happen. We're trying to manipulate the things that are happening in our lives to try and get the outcome that we think is going to make the thing happen.
Yeah.
And
It's
it's
very
all just,
stressful.
and it's a fight, and it's stress
Because we
inducing.
don't know what we don't
Whereas,
know.
exactly. And if we can get into that wonderful place where we're just in innocence, where nothing needs to make any sense at all, we're just like in no sense, and releasing the need to know how, knowing that we're anchored in the feeling of the end result and the intention. So that tension that we've created becomes creative tension. And because we've released that need to know how, we're giving space for opportunities to just come in, people to pop up, offers to be made, shower, those wonderful shower thoughts to come through, because we're not trying to figure anything out. All we're doing is just following those little pebbles that are being left.
The path of least resistance. I think that's what they mean when they say going with the flow, right? You're not pushing against something and there's no struggle and there's no stress. So those thoughts themselves, when you're setting your goal, shouldn't really have stress attached because that like sabotages you, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And that's when we do get in our dysfunctional behaviors, and we do the things that take us away from what we're wanting to create instead of towards what we're wanting to create.
Yeah, I like that move towards always focus on what you do want in life and stop thinking about your problems because you're probably going to conjure up more problems by thinking a lot about them, right?
Exactly. I had a mentor, and his favorite thing was, you can't think about a pink elephant without thinking about it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, when we take your attention off the problem and just focus on the end result and taking the next obvious step towards that without trying to figure out all the steps, just what's the next obvious thing to do? And for me, when I'm in a ritual space, it helps me to release all of the need to know how and just allow the obvious things to pop up.
Allow it to drop in to the right space. Yes, and I think that's how our intuition works better too. So when we relax into it, we're more likely to really get into the zone where we know what we should be doing. And so let's assume that we've done that process and we've really latched on to the mission and what we need to do, and it's pretty solid in the intention. So then there needs to be a belief that doing a certain ritual will work because it's a bit chicken and egg, isn't it? You've got to know it's going to work by applying those steps and processes, and when that's done, you kind of know, okay, I've set something in motion, it's going to happen, and you just believe it and it works. Is that how you experience it?
Yeah, and again, like rituals are, they can be any activity that we're doing. So each ritual is going to have a different kind of outcome. But if we're speaking in terms of wanting to create something and creating a ritual that anchors us into that, then definitely having that belief that doing this thing consistently is going to help keep me in alignment with the thing that we want to create. A ritual that's just coming to mind for me at the moment is, I absolutely love burning candles, and I've got a different candle for different projects that I'm working on. So if I'm sitting down to my desk, this is the candle that I light for writing. This is the candle I write when I'm on calls with clients. I've got another candle for a different group that I work with. And, it helps me to create a container and a space for me to focus. Okay, my intention now, this is what I'm focused on.
So it's like
And
tagging little sections in your mind, isn't it? So when you have a particular candle, it opens a door into that folder where you've stored that intention
absolutely.
for that project, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Or, I do have rituals that I start the day with. I love drinking tea, so I make it a whole ritual And even as I say that, it kind of sounds like, oh my God, it must take me like 3 hours to make and drink my cup of tea. It takes me no longer than what it would normally take to make a cup of tea or a coffee or a morning beverage of some kind. But it's just the intention that I bring along with me as I'm doing it. And when I'm drinking my tea, I do have different herbal teas, and I'll choose a tea depending on what it is. Like if I'm getting in a really creative writing type space, I might choose a mugwort tea because it would help me to get into that creative space. But then I just sit with the tea and I drink the tea and I connect with that and I connect in with myself. And again, creating that container of, we're going to focus on creative writing now.
Yes, so you're really focusing the mind with that process, aren't you? And giving it respect. So I was thinking about a lot of Asian cultures have these kinds of tea ceremonies, and they give respect and high reverence to the process, and pay respect in a similar way. We in Western cultures have learned to say grace before eating our meal, because we're blessing the food. So when the food enters our body, it's going to give us the nutrition that we need, and it's going to be good for us. And so we set the intention for eating the meal, right? That's another ritual. People don't even realize it's a
Absolutely.
ritual.
Absolutely. And that's where I've said, like, rituals really can become any kind of activity. And the end result that we put to that could be anything, like taking the food blessing, for example. If your intention while you're blessing your food is for it to only nourish you and serve you, and you're creating and attaching those beliefs to it, and I'm sure you can eat nothing but ice cream and be super, super healthy, but we're so socially conditioned that ice cream, sugar, bad, excess weight. But again, like, the power of our intention is so strong that if we really were holding the intention of being nothing but nourished, then we could potentially completely change our relationship with ice cream.
Yes, I know. My husband gave me a bite of his ice cream cone. I know he bought, so I can't remember what it was. It had nuts and all sorts of stuff in it. He said, "Try this, try this," because he's got a sweet tooth. And I've trained myself to come off sugar. I'm going, all right. So I had a little bite and it was really nice. But I said to myself, before I ate anything, I thought, this is not going to affect me in any way, shape, or form. And I bless the food and I bless my body, and whatever's in there that might not be good for me, I can transform and I will go past it. So, I guess you just learn to do this automatically and very quickly. As you say, it doesn't need to take much time. Obviously, if I went to town and had ice creams all day long, that may not work anymore because it would be so stressful for the body. But it's a nice thing to do so that you take the stress away, because if you're in total denial of everything that is a little bit of a treat, that's not good for you either, is it?
Absolutely. No, I don't think that's good at all either.
Yeah, we need to
Yeah.
be kind to ourselves.
Absolutely. And again, I have found through ritual, I'm able to cultivate more compassion and more kindness for myself as well when I do choose to do things that feel a little edgy or, I'm not supposed to do, that kind of thing. Whether it's Zoom scrolling or having a little binge on Netflix or eating the ice cream or that kind of thing, rituals are also a way for me to just connect back in. What is my truth? What am I here for?
Right. So what are your favorite kinds of rituals? To give people an example of what might work with the people that you work with, obviously there are more common or more popular ones people find easy to do and that are effective.
Yeah, I find for me anyway, when I started really using the power of ritual is to sort of stack them or combine them with activities that I was already doing. So for example, having a morning beverage, when I first started, it was just like a, good old little tea bag. But now it's evolved over time. And like I said, I'm really into my herbal teas and, have some pots and cups and that kind of thing. So I find that these practices are also an evolution as well. For me, also lighting candles is a really simple, quick way just to connect and to create a container for an activity that I'm about to do to help me stay focused on, okay, this is what I'm here for. And again, my journey with candles has been an evolution as well. I used to start with 100 pack of tea lights from IKEA because, $5, whatever they are now, I don't even know. But now, because I love it so much, I almost exclusively use ethically sourced beeswax candles because it lights me up so much.
So you have to
I
pick
love
something you like.
being, yeah, and it might be, oh, all I've got is like the old birthday candles. Okay, well, it's a start. I don't have to go out and purchase extra things or special things. We can use the things that we already have
But just
access to.
attach the goal, the intention, the good thought, and the knowledge that when you go through that process, you're getting the ball rolling energetically with the greater cosmos, with our connection, our spiritual connection. We've through this symbol, so the ritual is a symbol, we make a statement, an affirmative statement that this is the intention and so it shall be, kind of thing. I was thinking while you're talking too that I have to mention a lot of sports people have their own personal rituals, don't they? Before they do an event, they may wear a special pendant or they may, I don't know, do something, wear special socks. I know they have like something that gives them power, superhuman power, right? So it's a thought
And
connected with the
again,
thing.
they're just actions that anchor them in that end result of performing well, of having a good game, of, having a good great race, that kind of thing. So again, it's just anything that you can do that you can feel like anchors you back into the end result of the things that you want to create and the things that you want to cultivate more of. So thinking about the activities that give you joy, that you love to do, and then just bringing that intention and presence and reverence into that, and have fun with it.
Yes, and focus the energy. So energy goes where your consciousness flows, doesn't it? So ritual helps you bring that consciousness into sharp focus to channel the energy to power up the manifestation of that goal. I love it. Thank you so much for this really great interview. I'm sure people will get a lot out of it. If they need to connect with you or want to learn more about the process or how to, create their own rituals in their life, where do they connect with you?
I've actually got through my website a really great ritual that people can do, which helps you to find out what your yes and your no is in your body. So you can connect through that at therichwoman.au/connect, and you'll receive that free ritual.
Nice. Lovely. Thank you for the work that you're doing for humanity. Hats off to you. Very good.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you too. See you then. Bye-bye. I hope you like this conversation and will share it with others. Hear more from Body Charge on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to our newsletter to get updates on blogs, podcasts, videos, and magnesium special offers at electromagnesium.com.au. Relax, recharge, and recover.